Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music. I'm inside the clot.
In the building. Pod clot in full effect.
In the pod clot.
Hash it, you know, bro, from 2020, which is obviously just around the corner, we have to actually rebrand the whole thing as Pod Clot now. You know, it's gone past that point. It's not a podcast anymore, bro.
I'm not sure that'll go down too well, you know.
I don't give a fuck anymore, bro. No, honestly, I have people message
you're
me.
You're to fucking blame. That's why.
Good, bro. I'll take all the flack. I don't give a shit.
I give double the logins for the Twitter. Fucking hell.
No, I have people DM me and people will text WhatsApp me and message me and all sorts, asking, "Oh, when's the next Pod Clark dropping?" Or this Pod Clark was amazing and this and that. And
yeah.
Like,
I've been listening to the same thing, so I'm just hating.
Even in person, bruv, the DJs that have bucked me in person are all like, "Yo, I listen to the Pod Clark, man. It's proper. We've made a thing here. Pod Clark is now a word. I'm gonna be pushing for it to be in the English in the Oxford Dictionary 2020.
If we can make it, FM.
Imagine if we can just make it a trending word at some point in 2020. Pod Clark. Hashtag Pod Clark.
And it is quite unique. It's quite unique still.
That's what it is. From the new year, we've got to rebrand. Anyway, PodClark, hashtag talk over PodClark.
What's going on, my G? What's going on? I sound like deaf today, yeah, so just allow me in it. But yeah. We're podcasting anyway.
We're going to definitely take the award for the most consistently inconsistent PodClark on the planet.
Bro,
I think
DJs are consistently inconsistent, so it actually works for us.
It does. Yeah, and you know what? Shouts to everyone. Big ups to everyone that does the screenshots and stuff when they're listening. And I'm glad to see this as well, but a majority
of
our
audience... Bro, today was dope. I didn't realise it was National Spotify Day today.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that. But what I was going to say is I'm quite glad to see that majority of our audience actually plays catch-up. So I don't think... It might be our fault because we don't drop weekly at the moment. But like, I see people that are still like two or three episodes behind where we are. So it's kind of cool that we're not
pushing out too much stuff.
So yeah, big ups to all you like that do all the screenshots and stuff and showing proper love on social media.
I think
media.
The people that listen to it, bro, they're in the same boat as us. So they'd listen as and when they can or mainly after. I always get like screenshots at 4 a.m. and that 5 a.m.
Yeah, I know there's a hell of a lot of DJs
on route back from the club.
Exactly. On the way back from the club. But also, that's the thing as well, you've only got one pair of ears, innit? And like, obviously part of our job, you have to listen through so much new music. So like, I appreciate the fact that people take time to actually give us their ears for like 45 minutes every 2 weeks or however often we upload.
It's been like 2 weeks now, hasn't it? Yeah, 2.5 weeks, man. It has been. Sake.
No, you know what? I think the last one was just before I went to Amsterdam. So yeah, that's like 3 weeks ago now.
In fact, I know I remember when it was because I looked on the dates today. It was like 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Anyway, we're here, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, we're here. It's irrelevant. We're
back in the building. We're but anyway, yeah, like you mentioned, international,
inside, you know,
international Spotify Statistics Day.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know how to pull it up. I was trying to find out. How do you get it? If you've got a free Spotify account, do you still be? Are you still able
nah,
to see
nah,
spots?
Nah. If you've got a free one, you don't, bro.
All right.
Doubles higher on the free account still, you know.
Yeah, I'm still having to use shuffle mode on my phone because I'm
you're
too tight
stingy
to pay
bastard.
For it. Yeah.
I got one, but honestly, bro, like I do use Spotify, but I don't overly listen to stuff on there. Like, I don't know, man. I jump between a few things.
Do you?
Yeah, I've listened to bits on Mixcloud, controversial, or listened to bits on like on my own iTunes.
I'll be honest, bro. Like,
since stuff on Spotify, or I'll flick stuff on YouTube. Like, I jump across the platforms.
I listen to Mixcloud a lot less now, if I'm honest. And that's not actually... You know what? I feel like it's partly your fault because I always just used to bang your mixes out when I was in the gym. And like, obviously, you've been flat out doing all your other stuff, so you haven't put a mix out.
I'm trying to get back on it, bro, but I've just pulled back on it, innit? Like, after doing a few years of weekly mixes, but I was like,
yeah,
I can't really.
I hear that.
It's one of them. I did post one. I did post one the other week, though, after not doing a mix for time
oh,
for like three,
yet.
4 months. And like the listenership is still there, man. It's getting the numbers. The only problem was you're not getting the repeat numbers because people can only listen to it so many times. So whether someone would rinse it throughout a week, like now, literally they listen to it once, and if they're not subscribed, then it kicks them in the face.
The
listenership from the off when I uploaded it was there in the first 2-3 days. It got some mad numbers, whereas normally it would go across the whole week. So that's one thing. There's definitely been a drop in numbers on there. That's another. We'll be doing a podcast on it.
That's another episode.
Another one.
So yeah, big ups to everyone as well that's been posting their screenshots, because we've had quite a few screenshots come through today that the podcast has been in a lot of DJs' most listened to episodes on Spotify, which I was actually really, I was quite flattered, to be honest. People actually want to hear our voices.
Bro, do you know what? Yeah, I clicked it. Oh, I had a couple of them went to my message requests, and I loaded it up, and I was like, "Oh shit, we're actually it's actually mad." What's Craig? You know Craig? That's your boy.
Yeah. It's from Eastbourne.
We're his number one. But we was his number one most listened to.
Sick guy.
Number one. In front of 3 shots of tequila.
Yeah, that's how we roll, man.
Get me, and them guys are out here. So yeah, it is. It's a good look, man. It's a good look. Feeling love today.
It is indeed. Yeah. I like that Spotify does that. That's quite cool.
Bro, do you know what? Yeah, they're geniuses, man. Like, their marketing today, bro. If they had every motherfucker in the industry, every DJ, every producer,
not every DJ.
Every
artist. I didn't, because I've still
not every DJ,
account.
But I've seen quite a few on the timeline. Like, literally everything was a Spotify today. Today was Spotify day.
Smart people.
Very smart, man. Very smart.
Do you think, long term... Do you think Spotify will replace, like, do you think that will just become the primary source for music? Like, and I'm talking, actually, no, like, DJ mixes can't run on there, really, can they? Because...
No, I've had to take mine down already, man. I lasted about 3 weeks.
But so do you think, like, playlists and, like, DJ playlists, obviously I do a playlist. I know you've got a playlist for Get Loose. I know a bunch of other DJs that have playlists. And as Spotify becomes, like, the primary source for music now, basically, do you think it will just kind of dominate and replace everything? Do you think playlist? What I'm getting at is, do you think playlists will just replace mixes?
I don't think the art of the mix will completely die, but I do feel like they're trying to shape the industry to go down that route, innit?
Yeah.
And you can see how powerful these playlists are already. Like, they're just super integral within the industry. Like, I think it will eventually go that way. Whether the DJ mix will die, I don't think it will die off completely. There'll always be some kind of market for it, but the pace that these streaming sites are moving at now is just ridiculous, bro. How old is even Spotify? It's not even that old in the grand scheme of things.
Because sometimes with these companies, when they really bust big like this, you find out they've had some like mad 15-year like conception, and like they were started 15 years ago as something, and then they obviously like evolved into this, and then suddenly they just hit their market and then blew up. So like a lot of these companies never really, they don't just come out of nowhere overnight. Do you know what I mean? Like Serato's,
13 years old. 13 Serato's, years old.
How old is it? Sorry,
13 years. 2006.
Yeah. So there you go. Was streaming even part of the conversation 13 years ago?
I don't think so, man.
You got to think like that's, and that's mad, because I feel like the last 3 to 4 years for Spotify have been the most growth. I don't think I knew about it before 4 years ago. I'm like, maybe. But I definitely, 2006, I definitely did not know about Spotify.
Oh, bro, I didn't have a clue what this shit was in 2006. Like, I won't say how old I was in 2006, because then people will know that I'm an old granddad.
You were 32, weren't you?
I was 32 in 2006.
Yeah, fucking.
This guy. I'm just reading something. I'm just reading about Spotify now, because it's from Sweden. It was founded in Sweden.
Right. Okay.
Spotify actually started as a small startup in Stockholm, Sweden.
Started doing what? Does it say what they did?
Developed the platform in 2006 as a response to the growing piracy problem the music industry was facing.
Right.
This cost the music industry millions each year. Okay.
Now they're getting their money back.
I'm going to have a little... but apparently they were losing pure peas. Says Spotify has been bleeding money badly for years. The company said revenues amounted to $5 billion in 2017. Wow.
Mad.
Fucking hell.
Crazy.
But yeah, Spotify is the future, man. All these sites are the future, bro.
Yeah. Crazy.
I had a chat with someone in the industry who's like quite high up and said that they'd been chatting to Spotify and whatnot, and like they were warned about mixes going on there.
Yeah.
And the message got passed over to me, and I was basically said if you're caught with mixes on there, curtains, they'll just delete your account.
Mad. Luckily they haven't seen mine yet. Oh, I can actually talk about this very, very, really, very quickly. But I told you, I know you know, but that I actually got sort of semi headhunted for the head of urban at Spotify. I told you that, innit?
No.
Yes, I did. I told it was like about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
You never said it was Spotify, bro.
Yeah, I did. Did I not?
No, you did not.
Yeah.
This guy.
I didn't get the job.
This guy did not tell me that, you know. Are you just going to drop bombs like that on the pod, Clark?
I thought I did. Yeah, so basically, wow. It was
no,
amazing.
No, you said it was a streaming thing, but you never said it was actual Spotify. This guy.
Bro, I thought...
That's fucking dope, though.
I thought I told
that's
you dope. On the phone, like, not on the podcast. I thought I told you on the phone.
No, you told me that you was in for a job at a streaming service, but you never, I swear you never said Spotify, bro.
Oh, I thought I did.
Because man would have been letting off shots.
Yeah, but not obviously, like, not secretly. I wouldn't have kept it a secret for you, but I couldn't say anything on the podcast at the time. But yeah, so I basically, they reached out to me and asked me to apply for the job. And so I applied for the job and then I didn't get it.
they just dangled the carrot out, mate, and was like, nah,
basically,
can't have that.
It's like, hey, do you want this? Do you want this?
Not tonight.
You can't have it. But yeah, anyway, so that's a fun story of how, that's another fun part of
that's
2019
dope.
For me.
That's dope, bro. That, like, at least you're on the radar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not dope because I didn't get the job. It's shit. But it would have been nice. It was a nice offer, I guess.
Bro, the fact that they even approached you to do it, like... To even to just the fact that even hit you up and your name came into their heads like that alone is sick in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's kind of like, yeah.
It's probably because you say Clark too much on social media. They've heard
me using all this lingo. No, this guy is not the one for the job. No, I tell you what, absolutely no way can my social media ever stop me getting a job because of how I operated with basically wanting to get into the BBC for so long. Because I knew people drag you, bruv. People drag. See how Maya Jama got dragged? How, like, all these guys get dragged from tweets they sent when they were, like, 4 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, bruv, I was smart. I have never... I mean, to be honest, obviously I'm not racist. I'm not homophobic. Like, there's very few things that you could drag me for anyway. But if I'd been as outlandish... on Twitter as I would be verbally in like a bantery conversation with my mates, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh bro, I'd be finished tomorrow if I spoke, I was speaking real life on social media.
Yeah, there's conversations me and you,
game,
me and you
bro.
Have had conversations oh me and you have God. Had like off air. If someone that was to put on Twitter, like, yeah, we could have, that would block us from a lot of stuff.
We sound like we're horrible people off mic. We're not. We're just brutally honest. Yeah. I think that's the difference.
We just
like
talk
after
the
being
realness.
In the game for so long, you stop beating around the bullshit.
Basically.
So yeah, basically. That's it. Talking about bullshit.
Mate.
Did you like that?
Oh, that was a wonderful segue, bro. Go on, carry it on.
Talking about bullshit. Could smell some on social media this week.
That was amazing.
do you know what, bruv? I miss radio, man. Oh,
do you?
This is as close. This is, yeah, I do, man. This is as close as it gets now. Fucking stinks.
Yeah.
Got to talk to you every week.
Anyway, why did you talk about radio? I thought you were going to talk about something else. Maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, I was. It was that segue, innit? Because I used to be good at that kind of stuff back in the day.
Oh,
you're the segue
okay,
guy.
Right.
You're the segue dude on the Clark now.
No, that was a good one though.
So we come across a DJ on social media. I don't actually know this kid. I don't know who he is.
He's big. He's a big guy, you know. Like, I saw him.
He is a big guy. Looking at his picture, he's dench.
Fat Man Scoop 2.0.
With blonde hair, with Dennis Rodman type hair.
I mean, this guy is, I think he's like, he's kind of like a hip-hop DJ that started doing festivals and playing a lot of EDM and stuff. But I actually first was aware of him this year when I went out to Amsterdam. He supported Drake in Amsterdam on part of his tour. So okay. That's so I know, like, the guy's out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's doing bits. But yeah, I feel like I reacted to it fully, his tweet. Have you got the tweet in front of you?
Yeah, but since then he's tweeted a few other things, so I'm scrolling through to find the exact one. I think I found it. One sec. It was like 4 days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got it here. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go on then. I think I've got the right one, but just in case I haven't.
Openers should always bang it out. If the headlining DJ gets mad at you, it just shows they're insecure. That one opening slot might be in front of an important agent or promoter. Give it your all. It could make or break you. So basically, he's saying, like, warm-up DJs just should smash it and go through the bangers. And if the headlining DJ gets mad at you for doing that, that's because they're not doing their job correctly. Now, this triggered me. It's not even just about
the headline DJ, though. It's about the structure of the night or the festival in general.
Exactly. No, like, I feel it's
more than just the headline.
There's two different things there, though. So you mentioned the structure of the night or the festival. Now, I feel like they're two completely different dynamics. And personally, yep, I approach 100. Them completely different. So a festival, when it's like obviously a lot of acts and artists and stuff, like, people are not leaving before the headline act. So in that sense, I'm not like doing festivals every week, obviously, but personally my thing on that is if I'm DJing at a festival, yeah, I'm going in with bangers. What I'm not going to do is play any of the songs from the artists that are coming after me. Does that make sense? So no matter how many, if I've got three artists coming after me, four artists, I'm not playing their music because they will perform that. But whatever's happening, if it's a DJ coming on, obviously if it's a producer DJ, then I'm not going to play their productions. If I'm doing a slot before James Hype, I'm not going to bang out all the James Hype rhythms. Do you know what I mean? But like, no matter who the DJ is coming on after, I'm going in, right? Because it's a festival and I view that differently. So in that sense, he's not wrong, but
I wonder if his tweet was, it sounds like it was semi aimed at festivals, looking at it.
Well, it triggered me as a club DJ, basically.
Yeah, same man. I get what you just said. Like, when it comes to festivals, every DJ, obviously, unless you're on first, when there ain't no motherfucker in there,
yeah,
it's like empty fields and that.
In, that's not what I'm talking about.
I hear you, man. Like, in club, in the respect to club events, like, it's like a, you got to tell a story, man. It needs the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Yeah.
If man come out and start blasting the end or the main, like, middle segment of the night in the first 2 hours,
yeah,
you're just going to burn out the whole dance, piss off, not just piss off the DJ, you're going to piss off the promoter. Like, this, you're going to piss off the club, because they're also going to be losing money, people are going to leave early.
Yeah.
Like, all around, that tweet is car crash, man.
You have to think, you've got to think of it as exactly like you said, the story, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And if you're the opener, if you're doing the first few chapters, it's just a vibe. Just think of how the people feel when they're walking into the club, basically. They're just coming in. It's kind of spacious. They want to just grab a drink, just have a little bit of a vibe. It's not the peak time. So, like, just play that vibe.
Just let them warm
music,
in, man. Let it settle, innit?
Play the old school stuff. Play the brand new stuff that isn't really massively popping yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, just vibes it, like, nicely.
I'll play new shit on a warm up, but like when it's like a day or two old and no one's on it yet, and I'll test it.
That's exactly what I mean.
And then just like see how it feels on the system, and like no one's really on the record yet. Obviously, it's due to be a peak record in like a month when everybody catches up.
Yeah,
but to be fair, right, I get what I semi understand what the guy was saying. I don't agree with it though. But he tweeted off the back of it and said, I usually never play anything that an opener is playing. If your folder of music is diverse enough, you don't have to worry about the opener or anyone else on the bill.
Yeah, and that absolutely applies to festivals.
Yep,
because it doesn't matter if you've got other people on the bill after you. Like, let's be real, no one's going to a festival to see DJ Carnage. He just happens to have the job doing a set. Brother, I'm being real, because half the people on the timeline never even heard of him before. No one in Amsterdam was there to see DJ Carnage. He was just there in the middle bit while Drake was having a break. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one's going to see DJ Carnage. He might do his thing when he's there. He might absolutely shell it. But no one's going to see him. Same way when I did Wildlife Festival in Brighton. Bruv, nobody came. Well, okay, actually, about 10 people. But out of 20,000 people, 10 people isn't a lot. Nobody came to see me perform, but I smacked it and the entire crowd had a wicked time. Do you know what I mean? But like, I kind of put myself off my point now. I don't really know where I was going with that.
Do you think the warm up fingers died?
The problem is,
or it's dying in certain areas.
Kind of, I feel like it's because it's so many different factors, bruv. It's because the crowd aren't used to being. They're so spoilt with music in the sense that they can have any song, any moment, just by turning on Spotify or Apple Music or however they listen. Whenever they want a song, straight away they can have it. They don't know how to be patient and wait for music. Like, perfect example, last week I had some guy come up and request Steel Bangles' new tune, you know, 47 with Mist and Thingy.
Yeah.
And then, no shit, like 5 minutes later, he came back and requested it again. And I'm like, bruv, I'm going to play it, just relax. And then 10 minutes after that, he sent his friend up to ask for it. And that this constantly happened until it got to a point when I was actually just about to play the song. Because that's where I brought the night to, so that I could play it. And he came into the DJ booth again and went,
oh my
mate,
days.
I ordered the song an hour ago. And I was
is that what he said?
on my life, yeah. My response to him.
Man put an order in for delivery.
No, I said to him, I was like, mate, you can't order stuff around here. Like, this isn't a restaurant. I was like, I'll play the song when I'm ready to play the song. I know you're waiting for it, and it will come when it comes. Like, and I've had another one. We've all had this where they're like, oh, can you play such and such because we're going to leave in a minute.
Okay, let me just play it so you can leave quicker.
Yeah, innit? And so I feel like people's patience, they don't know how to wait for a record. And that's just on a day-to-day thing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's partly to do with the audience. It's partly to do with the DJs being inexperienced. But also, you know, like, I feel like it's also to
I know what it is, yeah. These new, the newer DJs, they can't hold, like, their cool in it.
Yeah.
So when the warm-up is happening and you're holding it and you're looking around, people are standing around, whatever, like, it's easy to jump the gun and be like, oh, fuck. We'll start going in now. Like, you got to hold like your nerve with it. It does come with experience and practice, man. But that's one thing I've learned when I've seen new DJs. I think they just feel like they got to prove themselves quicker, and kind of like what Carnage said, prove yourself, like give your all to your set and all that. But you can give your all to a set without playing all the like the main bangers.
Bro, I want to see an opening DJ, yeah, play an absolutely smashing set, get the dance floor rammed and popping without playing the bangers. Do that. That's how you prove to me that you're a good DJ. And if, like, I do events, if I see a DJ doing that, I'm going to be like, wow, they know their music. Like, this is someone who I know. You've just done this for the first 2 hours of the night and now the place is jumping and you haven't even touched a single one of the biggest tunes right now. Cool. I'm booking you. Whereas it's 11:30 and I'm hearing all the bangers getting slapped out in the club. Like, nah, they're the kind of DJs that play with the red lights completely on the mixer. That's the same type of DJ, bro. But
I have a challenge for the DJs that I do on weekends sometimes where I'll see how long I can go without playing the new bangers.
Yeah.
And I'll try and hold it for as long as possible. Sometimes I'll get to like 1:30.
Yeah, sick. And it's still super vibey in there.
And it's still popping, bro. And then the last like 2 hours, I'll just fucking beat them up completely. And then when the lights come on, they're just physically and mentally drained from skanking too much.
That's
try that one, guys. Challenge yourself.
Yeah, no, that is sick. But I feel like another point I was going to make is I think a lot of the younger DJs that are warming up, because it's so easy and because the music's so accessible, they're not listening to everything and they're not putting their own flavors into it. They're just playing the Who We Be Spotify playlist. Do you know what I mean? Or like whatever they think is the top 20 banging tunes. That's what they know. And they're not.
That is one downfall, isn't it, for Spotify and the streaming sites. Like, they're kind of brainwashing people's listenership. Like,
oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Because there's so much on there. It's like a flipping cesspit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't keep up with the new releases and everything that drops on there. So, like you say, you go to the playlist, which in turn, like, everyone ends up listening to the same shit.
Yeah.
Which leads to everybody requesting the same songs and
yeah, just this is the problem.
Cheap, innit? Everyone just following everybody instead of. Like, back in the day, you would find shit that you were into, you go out and dig for music and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like exactly like we spoke about before, in the sense that when you had to pay for every single song on vinyl or CD, as some cases were, you're only going to buy the music you like and the music you fuck with. And so the music in your DJ sets is going to reflect what you like. Because why the hell would you pay £5, £6, £7, £8, £9, £10 for a song that you think shit? You're not going to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have, apart from the free promos that got sent out by the record labels, I don't have a single vinyl record in my collection that I think is shit. Not one. Do you know what I mean? Whereas in my Serato, there is songs that I'm not really that keen on, even though they don't even get played.
Because we can just download anything now, innit? That's why. Exactly. We can just download. So you just end up stacking, like you say, a load of shit, or like stuff that you might not listen to, but like other people might want to hear. Or
yeah,
I have 16,000 songs in my Serato, mate.
Do you?
16,000.
No joke, yeah. There was a point when I think I had like, what was it? I had about 80,000 songs in there at one point.
That's stupid. That's crazy.
That was when I had, shouts to DJ Rome, because he hooked me up ages
80,
ago.
80,000, did you
say? Yeah, yeah. He hooked me up ages ago with about 16,000 UK garage tunes. I swear, I'm sure it was that many, like. It was basically Raz, every
talk
UK.
Me up, bro. What are you doing?
Yeah, I have. Come on, you did a UK garage mix ages ago, and you had some proper rare songs. I remember this vividly.
Right, you sent me like 7 MP3s.
Yeah, that's what I've got. They are MP3s. I don't have them on vinyl.
No, you sent me about 7.
No, but I sent you the rare ones. No, come on. The ones you asked for, you told me at the time, you were like, yeah, shit, I can't find these anywhere. And I had them.
Sold all my vinyls now as well, man. I need my garage MP3s. I need a re-up.
Yeah.
I need a re-up.
I've got them, man, because Rome got them all for me. I remember we were in COS. We did a season in COS one year. And we literally did a music exchange. I think I gave him all my Bashment, which was about 10 billion songs. And he gave me like every single UKG song ever made.
Okay, that's a plug, bro.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's a big plug.
It is, but I don't play garage ever, anywhere. So like, I'll play.
Yeah,
like,
I don't anymore. I'll do
15, 20 minutes max.
I feel like every year there's like someone tries to give it the garage resurgence, and like there's one big song that pops, and then it just kind of goes back under the radar again.
Well, a lot of the old school garage tunes are now just getting made into house records, aren't they?
Yep.
Like, and I mean, funky is the new old school garage. So see, when old school, when we were in our prime clubbing days, like 18, 19, old school garage was the old school vibe. That's now like the super old school vibe, because UK funky is now like 12 years old now, isn't it?
We've actually lived through some sick, like, musical times, bro. Like, you had the garage, you had the UK funky. Do you remember when dubstep was a thing?
Bro, yeah, because, you know what? I actually embraced it down here,
Pavilion. Yeah, Flux Pavilion and flipping bass cannon and that.
Bro, yeah, I had some sick dubstep sets, bro. Because I actually got booked for a couple of pure dubstep nights. And I was just going in and just shelling with like an hour long dubstep set. It was fucking sick, bro. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, it was too heavy, man. Don't get me wrong. A couple of the records I would slide in there, some of the bait ones, but yeah. It wasn't. I wasn't a big fan of the dubstep phase.
No.
What other phases have we had in our time? The deep house.
Yeah,
house. The deep house phase was doing bits. Flipping Storm Queen and all them guys.
Yeah. I feel like this UK rap phase that we're in now doesn't feel like a phase.
It doesn't. It feels like it's just come to the forefront a little bit.
It's sort of bubbled up now. Because when I'm playing open format sets, bro, even in like the bigger clubs, house music doesn't really do it. Drum and bass is still getting a lot of love. Like maybe more so now, actually. Like drum and bass and kind of like more bassy bass, like proper bassy type house. And drum and bass seems to be like bursting through. But yeah, deep house doesn't bother anyone anymore. But it's the UK rap stuff and like the excuse me, like the Afro swing or whatever you want to call it, Afro wave, however you want to call it. That's what is really like resonating now, and I feel like it's popping off anywhere that I go. It's mad.
Well, the Afro wave,
yeah, like even stuff from Rams Barking, you know, like Afro B Joanna, but even the even like the Jay Huss stuff, the Kojo Fun stuff, do you know what I mean? Young Bane, all of those kind of tunes. And obviously, I mean, I feel like the phase at the moment, maybe not so much where you are, but drill. Drill's doing a lot down here.
Yeah, they need... I'm just not a fan, bro. I'm not into this drill stuff.
No.
And don't get me wrong, it semi-pops up here, but not as strong. The girls hate it, fam.
Yeah. But you know what?
The girls hate it. It clears the floor, bruv.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm in the wrong venues, but every time I play, what did I play? I played Welcome to the Party on Friday. Some guy was mithering me for it all night. So I was like, I don't normally play that record because I hate it. So I was like, do you know what? Let me squeeze it in. He was being cool all night. Like, he wasn't pressuring, man. He wasn't being a dick. I'll play it for this guy. Cool. Put it on. Bro, I'd never evacuated a record so quick.
Dance floor clear.
All the sexy gal end has walked off the floor and just like little holes just appearing all over the dance floor straight away, man. I was like, nah.
Oh, that is pain. I love that. Bro. I love that record, you know. And Dior as well. Dior's even bigger. Down here, Dior's even bigger than Welcome to the Party. It's crazy.
Is that the one that has like the open, like where it sounds like someone's opening a door or like a vibe like at the start?
I'm not sure. Actually, you know what? I've just played the intro version.
It's Marco.
I quite like it, to be honest. I like the reaction. I'm aware that it's not like a great song, but I like what it does in the club.
Oh shit. Oh, sorry guys.
That's Jay Huss.
Yeah, that is.
That's a copyright strike for us. Cheers, mate. Getting the Clark cancelled.
No, it's not.
You're
it's
guilty.
Not. That is. Sounds like a broken door, fam.
You know, the producer of that's a UK guy.
Not surprised.
Yeah. And the beat,
sounds like the beat 90% of the Jules, off,
the
UK
beat was stolen
stuff.
Off YouTube as well. There's two fun facts for you. But yeah,
it all sounds the same, fam.
Here's something I was thinking about the other day. About, you know, in America, you can be in New York and certain songs are popping. Then you can go to like Atlanta and completely different sounds are popping there. And songs that wouldn't work in New York are doing massive things. Then you can go to LA and it's the same, like completely different scene. But it's all still hip hop. But like locally, there's bigger artists in each area of America that are doing bits that in the next area, nobody knows who they are. I feel like the UK is beginning to get that way. The reason I say that is obviously London is London. All the artists are kind of, a lot of them are spread out nationwide, but there is a huge underground scene in London, especially in drill, that people in Manchester wouldn't know who they are. But similarly, 100%. There's a huge scene in Manchester, bruv, that people outside of Manchester know nothing about.
Yeah, there's a massive scene here, bruv. Like,
it's crazy.
There's a handful that are out there that are broke through, but like locally, there's so many pockets of artists here. Like, yeah, there's just too many, bruv. Like, I could list 100 off the top of my head, really. But
it's mad. But even down in Southampton, for example, like there's two artists, yeah, one called Tyrone and one called Warbs, and they make music together. Bruv, they have a huge fan base in Southampton. Like, I've done a couple shows with them, and the people, like, the club is packed and people are singing every single word of their songs. every single word, bruv. It's mad. And like, there's other artists as well. I can't remember the other artists' names, but there was a girl who opened up. She did the first live performance, and mate, I was stunned by the fact that more than half the crowd were just singing their hearts out to her song. And this is a song I'd never heard of in my life.
I think that's the best way for artists to build, though, man. You've got to start local and build your platform in your own area, man. Like, before you can do anything or move anywhere, you got to infiltrate the locals, innit?
Definitely.
So if you can build a pocket in your own city and build a fan base there, like,
mad.
Get your foot on the ladder at least. I think that's dope. I think that's dope.
Yeah. We were talking about DJ Carnage's tweet. How do we get onto this?
I have no idea, but Carnage chat shit anyway, so just lower that.
I'm joking.
I get what he means. I see his angle. I get it. It's not advice I would be giving out.
What he means only applies to festivals. It doesn't apply.
He never said that though, man. He left it open on purpose because he wanted to cause some controversy on the timeline, innit? Obviously.
Yeah, he triggered me, bruv. Like, I got in there both on my account and on the Podclart account. I tweeted about it twice on two different accounts.
This guy, whenever Double wants to vent now, he just takes it to there.
I can hide behind it now. If anyone takes offence, I can just blame it on you.
Have you seen some of his replies? Big up to Chimpo, yeah. He's one of my boys. He's a local Manny dude. He's like a Manny legend producer as well.
Yeah.
He put, punch the headline DJ in the face at the start of their set. It's a surefire way to get their attention and earn the respect of the crowd. Just walk up and just box the headline in the mouth, you know.
Yes.
But, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's...
Play all your biggest tunes in the middle lane of the M1. You know which important agent or promoter could be driving past. It could make or break you.
Quality. Yeah.
Oh my days. There's some good ones, man.
It applies to festivals. So if you're doing festivals, don't play the songs of anyone. If they're a producer or artist, don't play their songs. But if it's just a DJ on after you, then go ham and impress the crowd, and there might be a promoter and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't work like that anyway. No, there's no agent going to be just stood in the crowd talent spotting. All they care about is Instagram numbers now.
Yeah, that's real.
But yeah, when it comes to a club, nah, play the position, man. Like, if you're the warm-up DJ, just do the warm-up DJ. If you're the last DJ... If you're the last DJ, you can clear up what the main headliner didn't play. Do you know how many bangers there are, brother? Like, just dig through your Serato and find the tunes from like 2 years ago that were really popping. That, bro, you know what? Every now and then I slip Panda back into my set. I stopped playing it for about a year and a half.
Oh shit!
Started slipping back in.
Forgot about that joint,
brother. And it goes off.
It does.
Because
I think warm up's the hardest set to play, bro. So if you learn how to play that right, then the rest will take care of itself. Because most people can play the bangers, innit?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a certain way to play them, but I feel like if you learn how to play a good warm up,
I feel like the mentality. Yeah.
You send me nice, or you're halfway there.
The best way to do it is have this mentality. Think, if I'm playing the entire night myself, and I have to play right to the end when the lights come on, and I'm only playing every song once, would I play this song right now? And if the answer is yes, then play it with your chest. Do you know what I mean? But if deep down you know, nah, actually, I would save this song for about like 1:30, 2 o'clock when I know it needs that energy, leave it.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's probably the best way to approach it.
That's not a bad shout. I never thought of it like that.
Isn't it? Like, that's how I feel. That's how I approach it. I've got a funny story. Shall I tell the story of when I was warming up once and I annoyed the headliner? Right?
Go on. If you can get it out before my phone dies, yeah?
Oh, you're low on battery. All right, so listen.
I've got 7%, yeah, but these stupid phones don't let you put a charger in whilst your headphones are plugged in.
Oh, that's dead.
What a load.
So I was doing twice as nice weekend in Skegness. I can't remember what year it was, but I didn't have a beard, so it was probably about five years ago. So I didn't have a beard at this point, so maybe it was about 5 years ago. So I was booked to do the warm up, the opening slot. By the time I was nearly done, I think there was about 4,000 or 5,000 people in the room. Yeah, about 4,000 people is a good estimate in the room. The DJ after me, I was playing at this point, and so I know how to warm up as well, right? So I know, not to play the big tunes, not to play the bangers. And the DJ after me, I was very familiar with the type of music that they play and their set. So I know what they're going to play, basically. And so I stayed away from all of that. I was very clever with my selection. Shouts to Ibs and MC Minx, who both hosted the set for me.
Oh, snap. Big
and
guys.
Bruv, so I didn't have to host my own set. I was just going purely off my selection, smacking it. At this point, yeah, because I knew the next DJ was going to be coming on with a certain type of energy, the last 15 minutes of my set, I decided to just slow it a little bit to calm it down so that when they came on, the energy in the room was going to be wild. Do you know what I mean? Because then they've had their wild time with me and then it slowed down a little bit. Then the next guy can come in with a big impact. So I'm playing okay. Sean Paul and Keisha Cole, Give It Up To Me. Remember that tune?
Yes. Banger.
The DJ, who's the next guy after me, who is the headliner for the night.
Taps
me on the shoulder and he goes, you're going to know who it is when I do this. Oh, come on, dog. You're rinsing all the big tunes. You've got to leave me some, dog. I went, no. What? And he went, dog, you're playing all the big tunes, man. And literally, I hadn't played any big tunes. And I'm playing Sean Paul and Keisha Cole. Oh, no, 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 that was it. Sorry, I hadn't even played the song yet. I had it loaded up as the next song on my Serato. That was it.
The guy come and pre the screen. You need that AM mode in your life, bro. Yeah. Hide them things.
So he came up and he was, oh, come on, dog. You're rinsing the set. Leave that one for, because I wasn't playing this song yet. Sorry. And he goes, leave that one for me. You have to leave that one for me. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And that kind of, him coming up and telling me, like, sort of took the wind out of my sails a little bit. And I was a bit like, oh, fuck's sake, man. So I just, like, proper calmed down. I think I switched it and, like, played, like, TLC Scrubs or something. Went proper old school, proper girly. Anyway, Tim Westwood starts his set, yeah? And I stayed in the room. And I promise you, he didn't even play the Sean Paul and Keisha Cole song.
Oh, my God.
And you know what he did? And I just analysed it like this. Like, I was smacking it, bro. I'm not even going to lie. The vibe was super nice. And I feel like he just got in my ear just to kind of put me off and just fuck up the rest of my set. When anyway, I was winding it down anyway so that he could start with a big one and get the energy in and do his thing. But, yeah. Anyway, that's my funny story about being
an opener. We don't even need... I reckon most people will guess who that was.
Well, I just said his name, bro. I don't give a shit. It's Tim Westwood. I don't care, like...
Westwood.
Yeah, it was Tim Westwood. Like,
I think it's because whenever we've booked him over the years, like, he doesn't like people playing before him or after him. Like, the guy will play the whole night.
Usually, I feel like usually he does do the whole night. Yeah,
he rolled up with like a 1970 like PC tower, like this rugged
massive
like
hard
mic,
drive.
A mic stand, and he was like tying it all up with solid tape. Like, he has it all set up in a certain way,
yeah.
Like very specific. And he played for like 5 hours, man.
Yeah,
that's
which I mean, like I kind of actually no, maybe not now, but up until very recently, I used to prefer a 5 hour set over like an hour and a half set. But when I do the guest sets now, like I do enjoy just getting a little bit wavy beforehand, jumping on, just doing the power hour and a bit, and then jumping off again. I kind of enjoy that, and I enjoy working with other DJs on a night. I find that quite enjoyable.
I feel like the hour sets is like when you're. Have morning sex.
When you have morning sex?
Yeah, you like you go in there and you just explode and it's done in like a minute and before you know it you're leaving.
Is that how you roll, yeah?
Bro, if I wake up in the morning, yeah, and I'm about to get a freaky buff, yeah? That shit's over quick, mate.
Nah, bro, that's the worst time of day for me. Like, well, I mean, or
in
best,
the bro,
on...
in the morning.
Nah.
It's over real quick, fam. So when I go, so but obviously normally it's not quick. So like in regards to sets, if I do a normal set, I'm great. But if I go and do an hour, I feel like it's just it's too snappy, man. Couple
Boss
bangers
pff,
out of there. Get me.
That's how I feel.
Come on, bro. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, G.
Pause.
You know you can't pause.
Yeah.
Anyway. Big up the warm-up DJs, man. It's my favourite set. It's my favourite set. I love it.
What,
I love my warm-up.
The morning sex DJing, where you do 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's your, what's your favourite? Doing the long ones or...
Doing the, what long sets?
No, let's talk about DJing.
I said long sets, not sexy clock.
Long set is your favourite or not?
Yeah, the long set, man. I think so. I think an hour's too short. Like, if I do guest sets, I always try and push for 90 minutes at least.
Yeah. Minimum 90. 90 minutes.
An hour is way too quick. Like, it takes me... I always warm in for 10-15 minutes as well.
Yeah.
Like, I won't 100%. Just go ham. I'll try and tell a story within my 90-minute set instead of just bangers straight from the... Like, I'll still play the bangers, but...
Yeah.
I have, like, an intro thing that I play and then, yeah.
If it's a new area for me as well, I feel like I have to gauge how much of my set to give the crowd, in the sense that I host a lot, innit? And like sometimes
if it's
an area that doesn't really have a host, then I'll hold back a bit because I do not want it to get to a point where it's like, oh, this guy's talking too much. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but no. Your hosting's a bit different. But this is what we've got to do a podcast on hosts.
Yeah.
Because I've witnessed some of the most horrendous hosting this year. And I've also witnessed some of the greatest hosting. I just feel like grabbing a mic and shouting every lyric over every song is not hosting. There's a difference. Like, host the dance. Like, move around the mood of the music. Like, entertain the people. You're like, you're a host.
Yeah, that's
like, if you're hosting a dinner party, you don't go and serve dinner and start screaming at everyone what's on the plates. Like, you've got fucking chicken on there, blood. Stuffing.
Eat your
food. Sprouts and Brussels.
Are you enjoying your food? Can you wait for dinner?
Get me in garage, in garage MC style. I don't know. I feel like some people get what a host is mixed up a little bit. Like, yeah. Because some hosts are actually sick and some of them can really make your night. Like, we had Day Day down for the opening Get Loose and, like, he was the perfect host, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the mic from early, talking to the crowd, make sure people knew what was going on kind of thing, and just keeps everyone in touch and keeps their energy, like, ticking over. But then you got other men that are just... and treating it like fucking hip hop karaoke.
Yeah, so that's not the one.
That's another conversation anyway. I'll just have to throw that in.
That is.
You know,
it's Missing Link. His name escaped me for
Oh yeah, Link. Yeah, Link's one of the best in my opinion.
Link's a great host. We should get him in. There's a bunch of good hosts out there actually. Shouts to Ibs as well. Rest in peace.
You know what? That's what we're gonna do actually.
Dr. Psycho was one of the greatest hosts, man. Like, one of my favourite to work with. So yeah, rest in peace, Psycho, man. Like, he really knew how to host.
I had some sick nights with Dr. Psycho. I remember being in Abu Dhabi with him, bro.
Sick.
On a random one when he was hosting one of my... And he hosted one of my sets out there. And he didn't even have to. He wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
But we're all out there together. We're all staying in the same hotel. Like, I just... Oh, yeah. What a shame, man.
Bruv, he was an amazing host.
Different gravy, bro. And his even just his energy and that, innit? He was just like a big teddy bear.
Yeah.
Proper sound geezer.
Proper sound geezer.
Rest in peace, man.
R.I.P. Dr. Psycho, man.
We'll chat to I'll chat to Link and see if we can. We'll definitely have to do like a host podcast.
Hosting on the Clark. Yeah, that'd be a good one. That's a good one. Actually.
Yeah, I do. I feel like that needs to be done. 100.
Definitely. Definitely. Was there anything else we needed to talk about today? I'm pissed off with Ableton. Let's talk about this. How much percentage you got left on your battery?
Let's have a look.
Six. Yes.
Six.
There's time.
6%.
I'm pissed off with Ableton. So, you know, the software update for Mac, there's now a new operating system and blah, blah, blah. And we had to wait because Serato didn't have the right something and blah.
Have you updated it now? Yeah, I've not done mine.
Yeah,
it's going to fuck up my whole computer.
I've updated it. It seems to work fine. Touch wood. The only thing that doesn't work, I went to open Ableton today to do some work on it. And... this says Ableton needs upgrading to be compatible with your new operating system. Okay, cool. So I go to the Ableton website.
There's no upgrade.
There's no fucking upgrade, bruv. So...
You might need to go back to the previous...
Yeah, but this...
Go back to the previous operating system.
Nah, so the problem is I've updated Final Cut and all my other softwares that I use that are not compatible with the old operating system. So to downgrade, I've now got to downgrade all of the software just to have access to Ableton. I've got Ableton on my studio computer, which is a Windows, so I don't have the problem. But I've emailed Ableton now, and I explained it to him, and I'm like, I can't find the right update. They're like, yeah, we're not updating that version. You have to buy the new version. I'm like, excuse me? he even sent me a link, £300 and something for the new version. I'm like, excuse me? Like, I paid £350. It might have even been £380 back actually then for the Ableton I've got. And I said to him, like, I didn't know it had an expiry on it. If I'd known it had a shelf life, bruv, I wouldn't have bought the thing in the first place. I would have gone somewhere else. And then he's messaged me back like, oh yeah, I understand because I'm a music producer as well and blah, 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 blah,
but,
blah, blah.
But you've still got to buy it.
Yeah, and he's like, and he basically said, but suck your mum, pay the price or don't use Ableton, you little prick. And so I'm like, what the fuck?
So, I wish I could relate, but...
Yeah, I just wanted to have a little rant. So yeah, any DJs on here, if you use Ableton and you haven't yet upgraded your Mac, be prepared, my friends, because all your projects that you've got open right now will not work. And it's going to mess your life up like it's messed
my
Serato life
up. I think Serato is ready to go now.
I haven't had any problems. Touch wood. I've been on it over a week and I've not had a single problem. So, yeah, it's been fine.
Okay.
It's been fine.
Sick. Yeah, I'm holding tight. I wait for all the gripes to, like, blow over and people to deal with the issues first.
Yeah, I feel like it's safe, bruv. I've been testing it upon the road and, yeah, there's no issues. So okay, Serato's fine, Final Cut's fine, every other piece of software ever invented is fine. Ableton is not fine. Fucking Ableton, bruv.
It's dead anyway, mate, that's why.
No, you know what? It's actually good software, but it's just really annoying.
It's really annoying.
It is really annoying, bruv. Anyway, we can't end on a complaint. How are we gonna bring the mood back up? Ball's back in your court now. Say something happy.
Oh, bruv, do you know what? I wish I had something happy to say today, but I'm pissed off. I'm stressed. I skipped a red light after one of my gigs, and I went to do the course today that I had to pay £90 to do. I get there. Yeah, I felt like I was going back to flipping primary school. I got there, and they were like, no, you're late. You can't go in.
Wankers.
So I was like, right. She's like, right, well, you need to go upstairs, go to this room, and then you need to knock on the door, and then they'll give you this form to fill out to take back with you, and you have to phone and give this number. So I went upstairs, I knocked on the door. It was like walking into a school class late. everyone sat there around the tables. Like, it was literally like a classroom. I'm the one guy that's late. I have to ask for this form. They give me the form. One woman follows me outside, writes on the paper, arrival time, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. Phone this number up. Because basically saying that I could be prosecuted and all that because it was through the police and by law you're meant to attend and everything else. I was like, yo, I've just drove over here in rush hour. Yeah. It took me 2 hours to get here. I live 10 miles away. It took me 2 hours to drive 10 miles and I'm late.
Oh,
like,
that's so dead.
Not a lot I can do. Anyway, I got charged, like, it was like £130 thingy to, like, rebook it and whatnot. Mate, I'm fuming.
Yeah.
I'm fuming.
That's not a happy story.
But that's just, but guys, when you leave the club at the end of the night, yeah, don't do what I did and just think, oh yeah, the roads are quiet, I'll skip that red. It doesn't work.
Don't blast through red lights.
Rob, there was a policeman waiting in the alleyway at the side of that road with his lights off and he just pulled out. Obviously, I shouldn't have done it anyway, so I'm a naughty boy, so I'll hold my hands up there, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Give a brother a break.
Don't read.
Anyway,
don't
I'm coming to London on Monday. I'm coming to see you. Hi.
Oh, yeah, sick. Coming, so, yeah, we're recording
coming
on Monday.
To see you, bro.
Let's not say anything else about that. That's going to be a good one.
I'm coming to London to do a special one-off podcast with Double. We can't share it yet, but next on Monday we'll tell you, innit?
Yeah, it's going to be litty as fuck.
I'm excited.
The other thing I was going to say... which I think we mentioned at the end of the last podcast. So going back to Spotify and the fact that we're actually in a lot of people's top podcasts and top listens on Spotify. Thank you very much, guys. But we are still just a very little bit behind Joe Budden's podcast. So what would don't laugh.
Just a little bit.
Just a couple of we're literally
this
like a few listeners behind Joe Budden's. So If you could just send this to your friend, send it, if you know any DJs or whatever, next time you speak to a DJ friend, just say, have you heard the Podclart? And if they're like, yeah, then give each other a fist bump, and then you know what's up, you're part of the family. If they're like, what the fuck is a Podclart? Be like, bruv, I will hook you up, and send them the link. You get me? 2020, we're taking over. We're going to be past Joe Budden in next year, 2020.
Yep.
So... yeah, man.
So they had he was number one podcast, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we were second place.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Big things. No, don't be, he's a miserable one. No, let's not get negative again, bruv, just before we finish.
I know, right? It's one of the, bro, I've not had a good day today. Like you've done well to even squeeze a podcast out of me, bruv. If I sounded a bit down and just not on it today, guys, I'm just not having a good time.
Oh,
right,
he's
now
tired, he's been working. Yeah.
Don't listen.
No,
all right.
I wasn't.
All right, mate.
I'm sympathising with you, bro. You're tired, right,
bro.
And you've been working. You had to go to the drive-in.
Sorry,
I get it, mate.
I don't give a shit about Ableton. I hope your fucking computer fucking blows up.
Oh, shots
there
fired.
How about that?
Right, Stylus anyway needs his warm milk and he needs to go to bed. That's the end of...
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the studio till like 5 a.m.
Oh, mate.
Playing catch up because I have like 4 jobs because I'm on crack.
Savage. Enjoy your crack. I'm done for the day.
Pause.
Oh, yeah. Super pause. Ultra pause.
I said enjoy your crack. Right. Guys, that was the Talk Over podcast. Follow us in it. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Spotify, Apple Music, all of that.
Hashtag Talkover Podcast. Let's talk about it on Twitter as well. At Talkover Pod. And then obviously the main one, capital letters, hashtag Podclart.
Yes, sir.